Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Employers, simplify your pension scheme with a Zurich Master Trust. Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie.
Now, as you heard there in the news headlines, following a 52-day trial, Gerard the Monk Hutch has been found not guilty of the murder of David Byrne, the Kinahan gang member who was shot dead at the Regency Hotel 7 years ago on the 5th of February 2016. Two co-accused, Jason Bonney and Paul Murphy, were convicted on lesser charges of facilitating the Regency attack by providing getaway vehicles. The three judges at the Special Criminal Court delivered their verdict earlier this afternoon. For more on all of this, we're joined now by former Assistant Garda Commissioner Pat Leahy, and thank you for joining us this afternoon, Pat. As we said, a 52-day trial. Can you talk us through the level of Garda resources and time that would have been committed to this investigation?
Well, it would be very significant, Sarah. I mean, look, it's important that people would understand the role of an Garda Síochána in all of this, because a lot of people will be looking for a reaction today, and there won't be an emotional one, because the police have to be objective and independent in their investigations. So they have to remain objective. Their role is to collect and present all the available evidence, present it to the DPP, who will then decide whether or not he's going to pursue a prosecution. And then it's presented to the courts, and the courts will challenge every aspect of that investigation, including how the evidence was obtained. And they'll apply then a standard to it. And we can see from the court today and the ruling that came out that the reliability of the key witness, I suppose, was the key feature coming out of it, that they found him not to be reliable.
Yeah, and indeed, in terms of Jonathan Dowdall's evidence, Judge Byrne said, and I'll quote, "a significant question mark hangs over Jonathan Dowdall's character and reliability," and also that in light of the serious difficulties that his evidence presents, the court was not prepared to act on his statement alone and required cooperative evidence, which they then concluded didn't exist or didn't exist in the quantity or quality necessary to decide on a guilty verdict. We know Jonathan Dowdall is currently being considered for the Witness Protection Programme. We don't know how far along that consideration is. Will this impact his application, or how does that work, do you know?
Well, look, that's a part of the policing toolbox that we don't discuss in public, and for good reason, Sarah. So, look, I don't think it'll take us anywhere. It's a separate process, and we really shouldn't get into that space. It's an unsafe place for us to go to today.
Okay, so we can't go into any details as to how or whether this will have any impact on his application.
No, not really. It's not a good place for us to go.
There were some notable moments during the trial. Data from a tracking device, this has been discussed, fitted to Dowdall's Land Cruiser Jeep by Gardaí, and then he drove Gerard Hutch across the border. That land tracking device was initially thought to be destroyed, but then it was recovered. Are there learnings here for the Gardaí investigation, do you think?
Well, there's learning comes out of every investigation. That's the basis for our justice system, really, is that we learn from everything. And going forward, it improves. So it's a continuous improvement approach to, delivering justice and conducting investigations. In fairness, the court found it to be admissible. So they were accepting the bona fides of Garda Síochána in relation to the collection of that evidence. But they did challenge it. And that's what happens during the court process. So the guards have to conduct a full and proper investigation, and that's the terminology used in the legislation. And they're challenged then to the nth degree in the courtroom scenario. So the guards really just have to do the job right. There is no emotional outcome at the end of it, because if they do the job properly and the court finds one way or another, whether it's an acquittal or whether it's a guilty verdict, you know, it shouldn't affect the guards one way or the other. The process is what needs to be right for a Garda Síochána. And I think the guards will walk away today and find, yes, they accepted the investigation was a full and proper investigation. The evidence was admissible, but it fell on other issues not associated with the investigation itself. So I think the guards will be happy enough with that end of it, but they won't be emotional in any way, I would expect, about the outcome of it.
And what did you think about this idea that, as the trial heard, that, and I quote, disturbingly, all records from the tracking device placed on Dowdall's vehicle by Gardaí were destroyed after Hutch was arrested and charged and before the trial began last October. And the senior counsel, Brendan Grehan, for Gerard Hutch, said the destruction of those records was a real problem, and he didn't accept the state's assertion that it was done in accordance with the law.
Well, look, we have to accept what happened next, Sarah. And the court challenged this, they looked at this, they considered this, and they found it ultimately to be admissible. So they accepted the bona fides when Garda Síochána in relation to it. Well, that's what appears to have happened, that they've accepted the bona fides when Garda Síochána in terms of their rationale for this and their explanation of this. And I don't think there's another way to interpret it. If they had felt any other way about it, it wouldn't have been admissible in evidence. They wouldn't have heard it.
More generally, and then sort of more big picture, do you think the way Gardaí investigate and pursue gangland criminals changed in the wake of the Regency Hotel murder?
Well, I think a lot of things changed, Sarah, and what stands out for me is the realignment of resources at national and international level. I mean, it really, it was a different space that we were taken into from a policing perspective. This was an attack on the state. These were military-grade weapons. They were dressed in military uniform. So it wasn't just an attack on the Regency. It was an attack on our democracy. That's the reality of it. So something had to change. You could never accept such behaviour on the streets of your capital city. And indeed, that's what happened. The guards have been relentless in their pursuit of this. And the international structures that have been actioned as a consequence are really bearing fruit now. I mean, you see the likes of the Americans coming in and placing sanctions and placing bounties on people's heads. That's a real, real change from where we were pre-2016.
I know you were Assistant Garda Commissioner at the time of the aftermath of the Regency Hotel attack, and it really made your impact on the inner city Dublin community. What was your assessment of what was happening at the time and how it affected the community?
Well, I was the chief superintendent inside in the North Inner City when it actually happened, Sarah, and it was in 2017 then that I took up the role across the city as a whole. But when I was in the North Inner City at the time of it, it devastated that part of the city, because this wasn't two groups going head to head. This was a single group imploding. These people knew each other intimately. They literally lived around the corner from each other. People who had relationships, family relations and friendships for generations were afraid to say hello on the street. They were afraid to be found together just in case they would be attacked at one side or the other. You had key targets dropping their children off at the same schools in the morning. So you had Garda checkpoints, you know, you had carrying machine guns within eyesight of the local schools. And when we were negotiating with the headmasters and headmistresses in there to try and, you know, play this down somewhat, our problem was our key targets were turning up in the schools at morning time and in the evening time, and we were in preservation of life mode. So it was really sad from a policing perspective, because in 2015, we had just been awarded European best practice for community-oriented policing in the North Inner City. And within 6 months, we were in preservation of life mode with armed detectives and, you know, guards, almost in military uniform, doing checkpoints on the streets. And we were really, really trying our best not to normalise this for the children in there. Mm. But it was almost impossible. It fractured the community. And I think it'll take generations for this to pass through. So a really, really negative impact on the community for sure.
A statement just in from Justice Minister Simon Harris. He said he notes the judgments of the Special Criminal Court today. The judiciary are, under the Constitution, independent in the exercise of their functions, he said. And he also said on Garda Síochána's investigation into the murder and events at the Regency Hotel on February 5th, 2016, remains live and is continuing. And I suppose that's interesting, an interesting aspect of it, Pat, because there is no murderer found yet or convicted of that attack in the Regency Hotel. So that investigation will continue?
Well, absolutely. That's an open investigation and will continue as such. And I think we have to take hope from the fact that the guards have been relentless in their pursuit of this. And again, going back over the international element of this is all part and parcel of where this is going. And I would expect that the guards will keep this going over the long term. This certainly isn't over at this point.
You know, given the judge today or the court today found that though Gerard Hutch was found not guilty, that the Hutch family were likely involved in the attack, beyond reasonable doubt indeed, would Garth Dee see it as a major setback that Gerard Hutch is now free and released?
Well, look, the guards accept the ruling of the court. The courts are independent. They considered all the evidence that was presented to them. They've accepted that the Garda investigation was a bona fide, full and proper investigation. So the guards can't be getting emotional about this. As I said, the guards have to be totally objective or the whole system falls down. So the guards have to go in there totally objective. They collect all the evidence, and wherever that takes the court or the finding ultimately, the guards just have to accept it and get on with it. So you can't be emotional one way or the other. You can't be happy or sad about it or angry about it. You have to be objective all the time. You know, there will always be somebody to take the places of the people involved in this. So there'll always be a new kid on the block. So you cannot personalise this in any way at all.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us with your insights. That's Pat Leahy, former Assistant Garda Commissioner, and we will be getting some more political reaction to this story a little later in the programme. Right now, though, we'll take a break.